Hi there, my name is Jerem Bogwa, and I'm the host of Crime and Consequences Kenya, a true crime podcast where we tell the life stories of our victims, who they were, what happened to them, and why they still matter. So the players in today's story are Lena Munyao and her unborn child, who are our victims. We have Benedict Munyao, who's Lena's husband and the father of her unborn child. We have Eunice Wayua, who acted as the prosecution's key witness, and she was Lena's neighbor. And then we have Elizabeth Siango, who was found guilty of Lena's murder, and she was also Benedict's first wife. This story takes us all the way back to 2001. It's February 27th, 2001. And we are in Kitui County. Lena Munyao is a newlywed, and she's been married about 4 years, according to the research, if I remember correctly. Her and her husband, Benedict Munyao, had been married a year, and they were expecting their first child. She was heavily pregnant with their first child, and they were very, very excited. So that day, February 27th, that's like any other day. You know, they get up. She helps her husband get ready for school. He's a teacher at Kalinga Primary School at the time. And he leaves the house at 7 a.m. and he goes to work. So Lena is left in the house and she's doing the cleaning, she's doing the cooking, she's resting because she's pregnant and just getting ready to welcome her baby into the world. So at about 10 a.m., Lena gets a visitor in the house. Somebody comes to see her. And this being 2001, this being Kitui County, this being, you know, the very early days of technology in Kenya, I do assume that this was a surprise guest, that this was not somebody that they had discussed beforehand was coming. And there was nothing in my research that supported the fact that they could have had a discussion on, I'm going to come to see you today. So this was a surprise visitor for Lena. 10 a.m., the visitor comes, she's welcomed to the house, Haribu, Katie, Nikwe, Chai, and everything. And then they start talking for a while. And then all of a sudden, Lena runs out of the house. And then the visitor is seen chasing her as she's running away from the house. So the prosecution's key witness, who was identified as Eunice, said that the person she saw going to visit Lena at 10 a.m. was Elizabeth Siango, who is Benedict's first wife. And it later came out to be revealed that she was also Elizabeth's cousin. So that's a very weird, kind of strange. Weird is not really the best word. It's just a strange, strained dynamic there. Because this is your cousin who's married and expecting a baby with your ex-husband, you know? So anyway, Eunice is telling the investigators that after she saw Elizabeth going to the house, after a while, she sees Lena running out of the house and Elizabeth chasing her. And then, you know, Lena is running, but she's heavily pregnant, so she can only go so fast. So very soon, Elizabeth catches up with her, wrestles her to the ground, and Eunice states that she saw Elizabeth start to strangle Lena. And Lena is on the floor, she's begging for her life, she's pleading for the life of her baby. Please, 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 I'm about to give birth, please don't do this, just spare me. Whatever it is, I'm sure we can talk about it, we can work it out, but Elizabeth does not want to hear anything. So as Lena is begging for her life and the life of her unborn child, Eunice states that she sees Elizabeth tie something around Lena's neck and drag her back to the house. And then at this point, Elizabeth had seen Eunice witnessing the whole thing. And remember, Eunice was a very, very old woman. She was 70 years old at the time. So there isn't much that she could do in the first place to help Lena. But I think in her effort to try and do something, Elizabeth sees her and starts to threaten her as well. Like, nikimalizana na yeye ni wewe na kukujia. If you dare tell anybody that you saw me here and everything. So Elizabeth drags Lena back to the house. Eunice is left helpless. You know, it's not like there are phones that she can call people. She can say, come help. There's nothing else that she can do, I guess, at the time. So Elizabeth drags Lena back to the house, and that is where she kills Lena and her unborn child. So remember, Benedict had gone to work at 7 a.m. that day, and he was working the whole day. So he goes, he works, and then in the evening, he's going back home. He's very excited. He's going to see his wife. He's going to see his brand new wife. And, you know, they're going to be very happy expecting their firstborn together. But when he gets home, something is off, something is amiss. So he realizes that, number one, his doors are unlocked. Number two, again, because this is rural Kenya, the goats were still in the shed and the chickens were in a state of agitation. So I'm assuming the chickens were mad because they had not been fed or allowed to leave their coop all day. So they're just cooped up in the same place and they're acting up. So Benedict is like, yeah, this is really strange. This is unlike my wife to do this. Let me get in the house, see what's happening. Maybe she needs help. Maybe she had to deliver the baby or something. So he rushes inside the house. The thing he notices again is that everything is in disarray, and he said that there was just an eerie feeling of abnormality that was hanging over the house, like something had definitely happened there and it was not something that was normal. So in the house, he noticed that a few things were missing. He noticed that he was missing a sewing machine, a radio, and some of his wife's clothes were also gone. So Benedict he's very confused, like, where's my wife? What's happened? Why are these things missing? Why is the house looking like this? Why are the animals been left unattended? So he doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know who to ask. Again, this is not like today. He cannot just pick up the phone and be like, babe, where are you? What's happening? What's going on? So he goes to a nearby kiosk and he starts asking anybody that he can find, have you seen my wife? Have you seen Lena? She's pregnant with our baby. The house is like this. You know, he's just trying to find any type of information that he can. Somebody identified as Kioko Mwangangi, who was the prosecution's fifth witness, tells him about Elizabeth's visit, and Eunice confirms Kyoko's story, and then together they start a search party. So I think eventually when somebody came to see Eunice, or however the story got to people, Eunice told somebody and the story spread around. So Kyoko tells Benedict that your ex-wife came to see Lena in the morning, and then she was seen chasing her and she was seen dragging her back to the house after strangling her and wrestling her to the ground and all these things, and we haven't seen either of them after that. So they start a search party. They go out looking for Lena. They're very worried. She's pregnant, she's been attacked, and just they don't know what to expect. They head back to the house, which is where the search party starts, because that is the last place that Lena and Elizabeth were seen. And they're following these drug marks from the kitchen, and it leads them to a small thicket by a stream that is behind the house. Again, they live in Ushago. And unfortunately, in the thicket, that is where they find the body of Lena Munyao and her unborn child. So listen at discretion for this next part, because it's very, very graphic. So in the thicket by the stream that's behind the house is where they find the body of Lena. And she was found half naked, and her eyes had been gouged out, and her head was covered in blood that was drying, meaning that she had been there like for a while. Let's backtrack a little bit. Let's go back just a little bit so that we understand why this thing happened, right? So before Lena and Benedict get married, Benedict was married to Elizabeth and they had a few children together. But that marriage is reported, according to the court documents, it's reported to have been very tumultuous. It was not a happy marriage. And eventually Elizabeth was like, I can't take it anymore. I'm taking my children and I'm leaving. So she left Benedict. And he did not marry immediately. He waited a few years. And eventually he meets Lena. They fall in love and then they get married. Shortly after, they become pregnant with their first child. So this was Lena's first child with Benedict. But this was not Benedict's first child overall, because he had several other children with Elizabeth. Also, I mentioned this earlier, but this actually emerged from investigation. Allegedly nobody knew before the investigations were done, but it emerged from investigations that Elizabeth and Lena were first cousins. Their fathers were brothers, but neither Elizabeth nor Lena knew this at the time of the crime happening. And when the prosecution took this to court, they argued that Elizabeth was jealous because Munyao had finally decided to get remarried, and he was now replacing her and her family and her children with this new wife and this new child that they were going to have. Now that background is established, that Elizabeth is the ex-wife, Lena and Elizabeth are cousins who did not know they were cousins, they just happened to marry the same man, and the prosecution is arguing that Elizabeth was just jealous that Benedict had moved on and he was now going to be having this new family, and she was jealous of the fact that her and her children were kind of being replaced. Postmortem is done and it's conducted by Dr. Joseph Maundu, who is the prosecution's seventh witness. He says that Lena's neck was deformed and it had been twisted in all directions. And Dr. Maundu added that Lena's spinal cord was severed as a result of the strangulation, And the spinal cord is the thing that transmits signals between the brain and the rest of our body. So even if she would have survived, there are chances that she would have been paralyzed because of that injury. So the primary cause of death, according to this doctor, was found to be cardiopulmonary arrest secondary to strangulation. So she had a heart attack, I think, as she just because of the stress of the whole thing. I can imagine she's pregnant. This person is attacking her. You know, she's thinking about, oh my God, will my baby survive? Will I survive? Like, what is happening? How can I protect myself? Like, how did this happen? So all these things. And she had cardiopulmonary arrest, which is a heart attack, And that was secondary to the strangulation. So the injuries were said to be manually inflicted. Same for the eyes, that Elizabeth, I removed the eyes with some sort of sharp weapon. Yeah. So that is how, unfortunately, Lena and her unborn child died. Benedict and the rest of the people find Lena, and they find her in the state that they found her in. The police are informed, and they come and they collect the body, and immediately they start looking for Elizabeth. So the first thing that they do is they go to Elizabeth's home because they know where she lives. And when they got there, they found that she wasn't there. Like, she had fled. She had gone to Taita Taveta shortly after the murder, and it's alleged that she had gone at night. So it looked very, very suspicious. And eventually police catch up to her, and she's like, what? I killed nobody. She denies killing Lena or even knowing who Lena was. And she also denies the claims that she fled in the cover of darkness to Taita Taveta. And she was like, no, me, I am a single mother and I have all these children, and I had to go to Taita Taveta for work because I have to provide for my children. So she denied that she was at the scene. She's like, I never went to visit anybody. I never killed anybody. I don't even know who this woman is. However, something interesting came up because Benedict refuted the claims that Elizabeth did not know who Lena was. He says that previously, in the previous scene in 2001, after they started dating and getting together, and I think after they'd gotten married, Elizabeth threatened to beat Lena if she did not leave the husband alone. So Benedict was like, you definitely knew who my wife was. You remember when you threatened to beat her in 2000? You definitely knew who she was. So Elizabeth was arraigned in court on the 30th of March 2004. It's about 3 years after this thing had happened. And she remained in custody until her sentencing in April 29 of 2009. So it took about 5 years for her to be sentenced. So in April 29th of 2009, Judge Lenaola finds Elizabeth guilty of murder, and she is sentenced to death. And at this time, she was 33 years old. So as we said, Elizabeth, who's sentenced to death at this time, she's 33. She's thinking about her children. She's like, oh my God, what is happening? So she immediately files for an appeal, which is denied. But then her lawyer files for another appeal on October 10th of 2013. And they make several claims, or they request for an appeal on several grounds. So it's October 10th, 2013, and Elizabeth's lawyer, who's referred to as Mr. Mugyokoyo, files this appeal on the following grounds. He's like, number one, the offense of murder was not proved to the required standard in law, which means that you did not prove beyond any reasonable doubt that it was my client who did this. Number two, the evidence was contradictory and clear, and it borders on conjecture, which means that, you know, it's the evidence sounded more like an opinion, sounded more like somebody's opinion. And then number three, the judge made an error in law and fact when he rejected Elizabeth's sworn defense, which is when Elizabeth was like, I do not know who this woman is. I did not kill this woman. I was not there that day. Like, I did not do this. So Mr. Mugyokoyo, he starts his submissions by asserting that there was no evidence to prove that Elizabeth killed Lena and did so while possessed with malice aforethought. So it is no evidence to prove that she even went to see Lena in the first place, and that she went to see Lena with the intention of killing her, is basically what that means. So the lawyer calls into question the prosecution's primary witness, who is Eunice. Remember, Eunice was a very, very old lady at the time. And he says that it was impossible that Elizabeth would have gone back to the house after being seen by Eunice. He's like, if Elizabeth had really, really wanted to kill this woman, and then she sees a witness, why would she still go back to the house and commit the crime after seeing that somebody else had seen her and would ultimately tell people that, you know, I'm the one who saw her, I'm the one who saw her do this. So why would she do that? He also adds that it's basically impossible that Eunice, how comes Eunice is the only person who saw Elizabeth? How comes nobody else? There was nobody else in that hotel. It was just when Elizabeth, when Lena is doing all these things, she's running, she's pleading, she's yelling, she's crying. Nobody else saw this apart from Eunice. So he was like, that's very questionable and suspicious. And then Mr. Mugikoyo also adds that according to him, it's not possible, this is a direct quote, it's not possible for one lady to kill another with her bare hands. You know, he concluded that he did not think that women are capable of doing these things. And so based on that, Elizabeth has to be innocent, because Elizabeth is a woman, Lena is a woman. And as Mr. Mugikoyo and everybody else around him knew, because, I mean, as they knew, it's impossible for a woman to kill another woman with a bare hand. So, of course, the prosecution led by Ms. Nyamosi, who was the assistant DPP at the time, said that there was proof beyond any reasonable doubt that Elizabeth had killed the deceased and she did it with malice afterwards. She added that their witness was truthful and her testimony had remained consistent. And remember, this took about 5 years to prosecute. And she was like, she came and she told the same story every single time. The story did not change. So our witness is reliable and everything else that you're saying is basically rubbish. And as for the claim by Mr. Mugikoyo that it was impossible for a woman to kill another woman with her bare hands, Ms. Nyamosi said that, well, she was no expert in this matter, that at the time of Lena's death, she had been weakened and she was a bit vulnerable because she was 7 months pregnant. She was just 2 months away from delivering her fetus. So Ms. Nyamosi said that this made it very, very easy for her to be a target, and it made it very, very easy for Elizabeth to take advantage of that fact and overpower her and do what she wanted to do with her, which was kill her. The prosecution was basing all of this on circumstantial evidence, and the circumstances that they had were that Eunice saw Elizabeth doing all these things to Lena, and so they dismissed the suggestions that they did not have any evidence against Elizabeth or that anybody else could have done this. They said, no, we have a reliable witness who puts you at the scene of the crime, who's seen you attack the person and who's seen you drag them back to the house, which is where eventually they were found seized. So in 2014, the sentence is made about the appeal, and Eunice's appeal is denied, but she got a small win because they reduced her sentence from death to life in prison. And she made another appeal because she was like, listen, I'm going to exhaust all the appeals that I can. I'm not spending my life in prison. So during her final appeal, she had served for 17 years and she was about to be 50 years old. And in this appeal, she was seeking leniency and to be allowed to go home and rebuild with her family. She also claimed that she had been reformed, and in prison she was like, look, they gave me all these certificates and I've changed and I've transformed my life. So in 2018, a report from the county probation officer at Machakos stated that community members from both her matrimonial and maternal homes spoke well of Elizabeth and they did not hold any grudges against her. And they also reported that Elizabeth had reformed while in prison, and she had very many good recommendation letters that had been issued to her. However, Benedict Munyao was like, listen, I am not ready to accept her back. But he was the only one who was like, listen, she killed my wife, she killed my baby, just no. This did not seem to really, this is again according to court documents, this did not appear to bother Eunice by all means. And she was like, if my husband wants nothing to do with me, then I want nothing to do with him. I don't even want anything from him. You see, all that property we acquired when we're together, like, let him keep it. I don't want anything. All that she wanted was to go back and settle down at her grandmother's home and, you know, grow old with her children and everything. So she was arraigned in court in 2004, sentenced in 2009. And during the judge's decision, remember, this is her final appeal. So during his decision, he said that the time spent in remand would be taken into account. So those 5 years she was in remand would be taken into account for her overall time served. So on January 31st, 2019, which is 18 years after this murder had happened, the judge overturned her life in prison sentence to 20 years with time served. So she got out of prison when she was only 51 years old. And that is the story of Lena Munyao and her unborn child. Yeah, that is how the story comes to an end. If you've made it this far into the episode, thank you so much for listening. I really do appreciate all the support that I am getting. And this case was particularly interesting to me just because of A, how the dynamic was. You know, this is, I really wonder if A, Elizabeth knew, because the investigation claims that none of them knew that they were cousins, but did she maybe find out that, you know, this was her cousin, her first cousin actually, who was going to be marrying her ex-husband, and not only marrying her ex-husband, they're going to be having a child together, you know. So that's just, I feel like maybe that is because she had also threatened Lena in the past. So I think maybe if she found out that it was not even just any other random woman, it was somebody from within her family, I feel like that is what maybe pushed her over the edge and led her to commit the crime that she committed, which again is unjustifiable. I feel like she got off very, very easy by having her sentence, first of all, reduced from death to life, then life to 20 years, time served. She got very, very lucky. And I hope that wherever she is today, she's being an outstanding member of society. And, you know, she's living her life, and may Lena and her unborn child continue to rest in peace. If you want to follow me on other platforms, I am Crime and Cons KE everywhere. I'm on Instagram, TikTok, but I'm not on Facebook. I hope to see you guys back here next week. We're going to be looking at another very interesting case. And